Finally, for our special on Brain Injury Awareness Week, Ian Young speaks to Donna Stainsby, a fellow brain injury survivor, about her recovery process and life after brain injury.
I actually just met your son. It seems that we have some things that are quite common. I myself had suffered a stroke. I was immediately shipped to long-term care, although I'm only 43, on the advice of a social worker from a hospital. So in the long-term care procedure, I almost, no rehabilitation, I almost gave up the will to live. Like if I knew how to call Dr. Kevorkian, I would have. And I just thought I was regressing. My family could even see the regression in me. There was nothing to rehabilitate me, nothing to interest me, nothing to promote me, or even to, it was just basically I was written off.
Yeah, that part I really understand.
I'm sure you're familiar with the term ataxia.
I am indeed.
Okay, I am ataxic. Also, I have ataxic dysarthria, but there's absolutely no sense of rehabilitation. They shipped me into a long-term care center for 9 months to the advocacy of my family, which it sounds like your son has been very advocating for you, because it just looked apparent that it was getting worse and worse.
Well, that's why McDonald just made the decision when I was here visiting just after Christmas. And he just said, this is nonsense, I'm not taking you back. That simple.
What can you tell me what was really going through your head the whole time you were in there?
Well, wondering what the point was in my being there much of the time, because like you, there was no plan for rehabilitation. This was a place that you went to die. Only I didn't feel like dying just yet.
Did you find that nobody was listening to you?
Well, why should they? Because in their opinion, I wasn't really alive. I wasn't really there. There was nothing for them to pay any attention to, it seemed. It seemed that was the attitude. I mean, these were good people, and they were doing their best to take care of me. But take care of and help to get better are two different things. And I was not interested in being taken care of in that way.
So basically it was all shift work. They were just shutting you off at 5 o'clock and coming back at 9 in the morning.
That's right. There were good people on at night, too. I mean, I'm not criticizing the people that I was involved with at all, but just the idea of you being scooped up and put somewhere to die when you don't feel like dying.
Does it anger you to find out who actually makes these decisions?
Well, I didn't really find out who made the decisions.
Right. Don't you think there should be a hands-on advocate from the beginning to find out what you really need, even if you can't even answer for yourself, getting you out of bed and putting you at home?
Yep. It's the only thing that makes sense. But if you've been trained and taught to think in terms of nursing homes being places not for improvement, but just a place to go.
Yes, they're very marginalized.
Exactly. I mean, that's the way the training goes for these people, people who work in nursing homes. It's just that they're to do the best they can to help us be comfortable.
Well, it's almost like an epiphany you can have that you want to recover. How did you recover? What really made you become a survivor, a fighter?
I guess I've fought all my life for whatever was needed, for whatever the circumstance. I wasn't getting better without fighting, so why shouldn't I try fighting? I guess that's, in its simplest terms, that's the way I was thinking about it. And I had McDonald's help, my son's help, in that he was very much aware of what was going on. And my brother and my brother's son, both had been involved in community associations for community living, which is the current term for mentally handicapped. But they also often had in their various homes people who had been involved in something that injured their brain. So yes. They had some idea of what the training was and what the situation was for people once they were there. When they knew that I was not going to be very happy for very long in any situation where I was not part of the decision-making process.
Yes, the decision-making process is very good that we had advocates, family especially, because there's other people there that make the decisions. It must be very, very hard for people that have no family, have no advocates, have no outlets, you know.
I can't even begin to imagine how they would survive.
It's very, you know, disheartening to your personality, to your independence. I have a feeling you really had to rely on people who are not medically trained, like you say, your son and your family, who were the real fighters. It must be gratifying to have a sense of that, to know who the true champions are.
Yeah. There were some of the residents where I was staying that also had spent a lot of time finding out about what was wrong with them and what could be done. You know, they weren't about to sit back and let somebody else decide that they were not repairable. You know, they just, they maybe weren't the world's most brilliant people, but they sure were thinking, and it was their life.
Well, who can put the level of brilliance on anybody, you know?
Exactly.
What steps did you really get into that helped you recover? Do you still need help with, like, any day-to-day tasks? You know, we all misplace our keys at one time, but that's just a part of life. That's part of, you know, growing old.
Nobody goes around locking up the people who have lost their keys, you know?
Exactly. It's called an accident, but it's almost like, you know, our accidents are all of a sudden marginalized, and we're put into a program where we're being dictated to.
It's a hard one to even try and explain to people who aren't going through it, or something very like it, isn't it?
Very hard. It's not like an epiphany I had, but it was just like at our age, because we're not born with a disability, or we knew what our lives were before, and then it was in an instant taken away.
Right.
You know, of course, we want to leave things into the hands of experts. Like, if you break your leg, you want to go to somebody to set it. You're not going to do it yourself. You have to have faith that there's people like that. But when it gets into the marginalization and the predictability, I was leaving things into the hands of other people because I just wanted to survive. I wanted to breathe another breath.
Yep.
Is there anything you still need help with that you find there's, you know, as acquired, like physically, planning?
Physically, no. Other than I have got a physiotherapist who comes in once or twice a week, and that I need because I don't know what exercises I should be doing to bring the strength back that's needed. And with her help, that the strength and so on is coming back. That's about the only thing I can think of. There's just, I'm a little bit wobbly when I walk. I had a couple of falls on ice earlier when the weather was quite nasty. I've had them before, but this was much more than I had ever had.
Right.
The roads were not that bad, and I shouldn't have been falling that easily.
So,
but I was.
You've had to sort of figure out what your needs are. And I believe in telling the people you work with, this is what I want to achieve. Like, don't teach me how to, you know, thread a needle because I never did it before and I don't want to do it again.
Right. Well, that was the only thing that was not great when McDonald was here trying to take care of me, because he was reading everything that about taking care of people with my kinds of problems. But he forgot, if he ever knew, that you still take care of the person you're taking care of. Not, you don't just do the same thing for everybody.
True.
And he was, you know, really doing his damnedest to do everything the program that he was reading said he should be doing.
So,
and that was, you know, wonderful of him, but it sure was driving me nuts.
What do you find that is your biggest challenge right now, presently?
Oh, biggest challenge right now. It's probably the actual physical movement here and there, and certain kinds of movement. If I'm going upstairs or downstairs, I have to really hang on to the banisters. I can't just sail up. And it's hard for me because I've always been pretty good at walking or, you know, walking, running, whatever. I didn't need ever any help with anything like that.
Right.
And so it's awfully hard for me to think of help. It doesn't enter my mind.
What do you consider would be your biggest asset?
Ooh, my biggest asset. Like, in terms of getting better?
Yes.
Or taking care of myself, or what do you mean?
Yeah, you know, your independence.
Okay, what's my biggest asset? I suppose that I have always been able to do whatever I needed to do, so that I just, even now, still assume that I'm going to be fine.
Yes,
and once I was out of comas and stuff, that's all I could think of was I was getting better. Every day was going to be a little bit better, and it was.
Yes, well, it's a long and arduous journey, but, you know, it mystifies me that these agencies are, there's so many agencies of support and help, but when you actually go through them, I find the lack of support and help is more prominent than the actual hands-on help.
Well, particularly in the people's willing and so on as they are, really don't know what to do. They still, you know, they have lists of things that they should do, and that's what they're doing, never mind what the person needs, what stage they're at. Do you get me? You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely. Well, you know, there, probably some of our listening audience are going through the same things as us and may not be able to communicate them. But speaking from your heart, what advice would you like to give to people who are maintaining the same struggles that we are going through? You know,
well, not unless they're home for the weekend.
Exactly. But, well, you sound like a very, very strong woman, and I'm very, very fortunate to be able to talk to you.
Oh, thank you.
And you keep on surviving.
Absolutely.
And thank you very, very much. And I hope to one day meet you face to face. I'm sure we'll recognize each other because we've got that survivor look on our faces.
There we go.
Bless you.
Bye-bye.
Mama rejects real estate.